During the year of the attack clowns, Obama has turned out to be the worst of the grease paint, rubber ball nose, floppy shoed menaces. It seems that all Obama has ever had any talent in doing is campaigning. In his jaunty, sarcastic, holier-than-thou, smart-ass style, he's especially good at egging on his own supporters, even if he hasn't been especially great at helping others get elected. It will all go down in his leadership-free method with his peppy Malcolm X-styled speech delivery and atheistic preacher manner that this very strange and self-worshipping man has done more harm than current generations can possibly understand. In the meanwhile, as Trump has been given his millionth obituary, the race is still tight and tightening, and the Donald is hovering near the magic 3-4% too close to call line. His speeches continue to be an entertaining mix of iconoclasm, funny quips, defensive statements, honest blurts, off-the-cuff thoughts, and highly polemical arguments towards the elite class and their towering stupidity in mistake-ridden reign. And Hillary, in her misshapen, bumpy-faced, glazed eye, cadaverous visage, halting gait, slurred and sputtering speech, overseen by 1,000 minders, including her massive bald nurse and his ever-present diazepam pen, continues to go to seed before our very eyes. Her own best female friend, Huma Hummus, admitted her noodle is not quite right, but can she make the 200-yard dash to the final prize on one leg, a single brain hemisphere, while seizing up, falling over, gasping for air, eyes wandering across her ruined face? Stay tuned, sports fans. That's right. Obama. Dedicated to Obama.
Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair, stand in the clouds. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps staring around, one who can't move. Where are the clouds? Send in the clouds.
The clowns are in the Oval Office. Obama, you damn clown. Stop campaigning and get back to work if you actually do work. I understand he spends his morning watching ESPN. Anyway, Kelly here. Good morning to you. Thought you might need a little bit of entertainment. Great things going on. Let's see what I've got for you here today. I've got a few of the things we've kind of been through. I've got kind of an entertaining back and forth, though, between Newt Gingrich and Kelly, the Kelly file. You know what? I really don't. Not a huge fan of Kelly, despite her name. She's not Irish anyway. She married into the Irish heritage. She doesn't deserve it. But here is... She's just another one of these totally. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in a position where you've got all these yes men and yes women running around trying to kiss your butt all the time. And, she took Sean Hannity's place in the lineup, from what I understand. And now the more he has Trump on, the more Hannity beats Kelly. And, you know, I don't see how you can be a conservative and a radical feminist at the same time. But anyway, here we go. Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich is probably, from my way of thinking, one of the most talented speakers. I don't, you know, he used to be Speaker of the House, but one of the most talented speakers I've ever heard in terms of answering stuff off the cuff. He was a college professor. He married, did you know this guy married his high school teacher? Which, believe it or not, didn't work out. But he's very smart and very creative guy. And he's defending Trump to Megyn Kelly, who looks, with her short hair, she's very sharp edge to her. Anyway, here we go.
Nonpartisan independent pollsters now saying that the Senate is likely lost to the Republicans. What does that say? I mean, if Donald Trump loses this White House race and the Republicans lose the Senate, does that...
Actually, let me find a better clip of this because it doesn't sound like it was recorded at a very high level. When people put up their own clips on YouTube, and then the media also puts up its own clips. So sometimes the media puts up clips and you can barely hear them, but I know that I have a different copy of this. I was getting ready last night and then I kind of spotted it this morning in YouTube, but let me see if I can find that. If not, well, I had it last night anyway, so I still have it in my list of things. Okay, here we go. But it's 6:12, 6:13 right now. And it is the 26th, or we're running out of days in October. And so anyway, it's starting to get a little cool. We've got a snowstorm in the Northeast that's kind of building up. And so that's going to be a big deal. Let's tell you what, I've got this thing, but it's loading a little bit slowly. Let's take a break here. And come right back. 6:13, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining me at this early of a time. We'll be back.
Just when I stopped opening doors, finally knowing the one that I wanted was
Okay, I wanted to, before I get into this clip, I wanted to put something out there about Judge Macias when he was criticized for the guy called up and said that he had allowed someone who had shot twice at the police to go into to probation. And I had somebody come, because I didn't know anything about that case, and I wanted to put it in before I forgot. I was informed by somebody who knew about the case that the guy who shot the gun, that it was, first of all, it was a shotgun. Second, that he shot it into his own ceiling. And so when the police came and got him, I don't know what the police said, but that was my understanding, that he had not actually shot at anybody and had not shot at the police. He had just discharged a firearm inside of his house, but into the ceiling, it was a shotgun. And so that was totally different than what the person had called in about. So be that as it may, okay, I've got a clip here for you from this back and forth between Newt. They're trying and have been trying, and as you understand, there's collusion between the media and the Democrats at the highest level. Now, I find that bothers me, because it's like this thing that I think I mentioned it to you. It bothers me that Obama has gotten a pass on everything. It bothers me that he's got people helping him all the time, which has allowed him to have a campaign or to have a presidency that's been disconnected from reality, which has been extremely harmful to America. And it just continues on. And, you know, you can come up with the idea that it's because he's black or he's far to the left or whatever it is. I'm sure it's a combination of things. But it is terrible to see someone who's been given an unfair advantage, basically cheating, who is so thrilled with himself. You know, I mean, I just see this day after day, this guy is so enchanted with himself. He's so in love with himself. And the media is so in his pocket, it's so up his rear end it's like a fishbowl, you know. This is like a Disney movie, a terrible Disney movie, but you know what I'm saying? So, and it just continues on. And to be a true liberal, true leftist, a true socialist means that the only way that you can get ahead is cheating. Pretending that everybody agrees with you when most people don't. And it's just terrible. It's terrible to see that and witness it. And I think it most galling, most the hardest part to swallow is that he's done a terrible job. And yet, because the media is so, I don't even know if they like the guy because he is supposed to be an extremely, you know, haughty or whatever you want to call it, conceited. But, you know, he used to go down there. They would have events at the White House, and he and his wife would go downstairs for 5 minutes as if he was above the process. If you're in politics, I would say this to anybody who's running. Please don't say I'm not a politician. Please don't pretend you're above the process. I mean, it's absurd. But that he has been a very difficult person to try to interview, and it really holds him as being above the process and above the topic and representing a set of ideas it's pristine, it's untouched by human, you know, it's something that's so profound and good, and yet at the same time doing sneaky things and really kind of discrediting himself through all of these contradictory ideas that he puts together and then acting as if he never makes a mistake. It's too much to, you know, I gag on it. But anyway, here's Trump and Megyn Kelly.
Gingrich. He served as Speaker of the House. He's a Trump supporter and author of the book Treason. Great to see you, Mr. Speaker. Thanks for being here. So
it's good to be back.
I mean, with Cook and many other nonpartisan independent pollsters now saying that the Senate is likely lost to the Republicans, What does that say? I mean, if Donald Trump loses this White House race and the Republicans lose the Senate, does that suggest that the Republicans nominated the wrong candidate at the top of their ticket?
The next 2 weeks are a contest of two parallel universes. I just listened to that report. First of all, I used to hang out with Charlie Cook when he would explain that Donald Trump was hopeless and would not get the nomination. I like Charlie. That doesn't mean he's infallible. But let's take the report we just got. Republicans are actually outvoting Democrats in Florida. They're outvoting Democrats in Pennsylvania. That's unprecedented. They've cut the Democratic lead.
You predict a win in Pennsylvania?
I think they might.
Really? You think Trump's going to win Pennsylvania?
Look, all I can report to you right now is they're outvoting the Democrats in early voting, which is also true in Florida, which is unprecedented.
But all of the polls in Pennsylvania have her winning.
What?
All of the polls in Pennsylvania have her ahead.
I know. I just told you we have two alternative universes right now. In Iowa, for example, the Democrats are 50,000 votes behind where they were with Barack Obama in turnout. The governor is very confident we're going to carry Iowa, which Obama carried last time. I can just carry you through case after case like this. In Minnesota, we're almost certainly going to win the congressional seat up around Duluth, which is a very Democratic area, but it deeply dislikes Hillary Clinton.
Let me just ask you, because you say it's two alternate universes. I mean, these are sort of small examples of how he might be heading early voting and so on. But I'm telling you that the Fox News decision desk just moved Iowa, that you just mentioned, Indiana, second congressional district in Maine. All of them moved left, moved more likely to vote for Hillary Clinton. And in fact, all of the moves that have been on this map over the past 3 weeks by Larry Sabato, by Cook, by the Fox News decision desks, these are nonpartisan outlets that are just trying to call the electoral
Nonpartisan outlets. Every outlet you described is part of the establishment.
Fox News, really? Are we? I don't think so. Every state they've moved it to the left towards Hillary. And you tell me whether that's all made up.
No, I think they're two alternative universes. You have a poll which suggests that she's going to get a Barack Obama turnout among African Americans. I don't think that's going to happen. You have a Washington Post ABC News poll where they took out 8% of the vote because they didn't like the way it voted. Look, I've been around long enough. I remember when the Detroit Liberal newspaper on the Sunday before the election said John Engler would lose by 14 points. He won the governorship that year. Mm-hmm. I don't take polls as seriously as people who've never run for office.
But your candidate loves them and has touted them from the beginning. And he's been behind in virtually every one out of the last 40 polls that we've seen over the past month. That's the reality.
Look, if you want to assume the election's over, skip the next 2 weeks and we can talk about the future.
I'm not assuming anything. I'm asking you whether you believe your candidate's behind based on these numbers and what it says about the down ballot races.
I believe the odds are at least 1 in 3 and maybe better than that. That the difference in intensity and the difference in determination and the degree to which Hillary Clinton is clearly the most corrupt, dishonest person ever nominated by a party all mean that the odds are pretty good she's not going to win. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually believe that. This is not just because I'm for Donald Trump. I actually believe the American people
are
sickened
by this. So let's assume she is corrupt, right? She was just as corrupt 3 weeks ago and 3 months ago, and she would have been corrupt and collapsing physically on September 11th.
This is why I really don't like this lady, Megyn Kelly. And I didn't really know who she was before because I don't watch TV and I just see her in clips and stuff. But this person, you know, there is something about, to me, she's a leftist. She's a socialist. Maybe she's not a socialist in her thinking, but she's got this thing that you find in so many of these talking heads, it's a complete lack. And remember how many of these people have been proven wrong. And this is not about Trump, but so many of them have been proven wrong. This fight in which Trump, who is he's a very flawed person, he's a very flawed candidate. The fight is for something bigger. The fight is to get back to reality. It's to fend off all of these arrogant talking heads and, you know, Megyn Kelly is writing this guy off. Okay, that's fine. That's her right. But then she pretends that she's open-minded. And then she talks about, you know, and all of these people talk about the sins of Donald Trump and how he has to be punished in so many words. but none of them probably believe in sin in the first place. They just think he's an evil person who needs to be taken out of the way, and it doesn't matter who Hillary is. The game feels cooked, and I think a lot of people are supporting Trump because finally somebody stands up to these people. You know, I'm going to finish the clip here, but I think Megyn Kelly is no different than this vast ocean of talking heads out there, these self-appointed gurus or whatever. And, you know, so I don't, anyway, here we go.
7th of this year, and her poll numbers tanked. But then you know what happened. He had a rough first debate. He took the bait on Alicia Machado. He stayed in that trap for a week. The Access Hollywood tape came out, which was not produced by Hillary Clinton. That was Trump on camera talking
Megan,
about grabbing women.
Look, I just heard you go through this with Governor Pence. I get it. I know where you're coming from. Let me point out something to you.
Sure.
The three major networks spent 23 minutes attacking Donald Trump that night and 57 seconds on Hillary Clinton's secret speeches. You don't think this is a scale of bias worthy of Pravda and Izvestia? I mean, you want to know why Donald Trump's had a rough time?
If Trump is a sexual predator, that is...
He's not a sexual predator.
Okay,
you
that's
can't
your
say
opinion.
That.
I'm
you
not taking a position
You could not defend that
it.
Statement.
I'm not
sick and tired of people like you using language that's inflammatory, that's not true.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker.
Donald Trump
You have no idea whether it's true or not. What we know is that there are...
Neither do you.
That's right, and I'm not taking a position on it, unlike
you. Yes, you are. When you use the words, you took a position.
So what
I think
I said
it's very unfair of you to do that, Megan.
Incorrect.
I think that is exactly the bias people are upset by.
I think that your defensiveness on this may speak volumes, sir.
No,
what I said
is...
If, no. Let me make my point, and then I'll give you the floor. What I said is, if Trump is a sexual predator, then it's a big story. And what we saw on that tape was Trump himself saying that he likes to grab women by the genitals and kiss them against their will. That's what we saw. Then we saw 10 women come forward after he denied actually doing it at a debate to say that was untrue. He did it to me. He did it to me. We saw reporters. We saw people who had worked with him, people from Apprentice and so on and so forth. He denies it all, which is his right. We don't know what the truth is. My point to you is, as a media story, we don't get to say the 10 women are lying. We have to cover that story, sir.
Sure. Okay, so it's worth 23 minutes of the three networks to cover that story. And Hillary Clinton, in a secret speech in Brazil to a bank that pays her $225,000, saying her dream is an open border where 600 million people could come to America, that's not worth covering.
That is worth covering.
You want to go back to the tapes of your show recently? You are fascinated with sex, and you don't care about public policy.
Me?
Now, that's
really?
What I get out of watching you tonight.
You know what, Mr. Speaker? I'm not fascinated by sex, but I am fascinated by the protection of women and understanding what we're getting in the Oval Office. And I think the American voters would like to know.
All right, so here's the thing. And this is what has, and I think that Trump has failed on this. And I'll tell you again, this to me is not about Trump. It is about a runaway train in America in which the media calls the shots and decides what's good and bad. The media, the same media that is either agnostic or totally atheistic and is disconnected from what the people in the country believe. And we're supposed to just fall along the lines of whatever they want to talk about and just nod our heads in agreement like little wind-up monkeys. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, this is Ralph.
Hey, good morning, Ralph. Hope you're feeling well, and what's up?
Kelly, that was a great clip. You know that? You should play more of those so the people would be informed of what really is going on, like that 23 minutes or 27 minutes against Trump, and then some seconds only
Ralph. It's so frustrating to me, this lady who's a feminist. I mean, if you want to be a feminist, I will respect whatever you believe. But the feminism comes out, and she is, you know, she's an attorney. Her background is an attorney, a prosecutor and everything. She's prosecuting Trump every night. The first story that came out about Trump molesting the woman on the plane was proved to be false. If there's 100 more stories that come out, do they have to give each one the same amount? You know, the first two stories were proved to be false. If 100 more women stand up for whatever reason and make the claim, do we really have to take the rest of the time between now and the vote and talk only about that? To me, the media is burying these huge stories, like Gingrich said about policy, and we're talking about this nonsense.
Kelly, the listening audience you have need for this to be brought up so they'll be aware of it. They see TV and they're not even half aware of the truth. And you bringing it up like this, that's what needs to be done. And you're doing a great job with
Thanks.
That.
Thanks, Ralph. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you listening and calling in, whether you agree or not. And another great call.
Thank you.
Have a good day. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here. But here, all right, I just got to say this. So one time this woman came up to me and she said, you know, lady down at the courthouse, real nice lady, an attorney. I used to listen to your show every day. I said, oh, okay, what happened? And she said, somebody came on your show and attacked feminism and I can't listen anymore. And I thought, well, I mean, on the one hand, it's kind of, you know, it's a summary of the volatility or the thing that we're talking about is you have a certain amount of time every day. You spend it doing whatever you find enjoyable or whatever you have to do. If you're spending time trying to do something enjoyable and you get offended, I understand turning off. And there have been people that I've listened to that they said something offensive and I thought, I really don't want to listen to this person anymore, and probably didn't. Having said that, I mean, I think feminism, and I've brought this up before, is a problem. I have plenty of friends that are feminists, females, hopefully females. I find it harder to swallow for male feminists because they're the most, you know, sanctimonious people you ever want to meet. They're cucks. We had talked about this before. Cucks tend to be white males who apologize for everything they've ever done, everything white men have ever done, supposedly. But I think feminism is a problem. David Bowie, when he died, his last words were unbelievably, feminism is cancer. I think that there has something, there is a reactive element in feminism that is very destructive, and maybe we'll do a show on that sometime. If you disagree, I'll give you the phone or the microphone all day. Of course, 6:34. This is a bastion of free speech in a sea of oppression. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be back.
Making my entrance again with my usual flair. Sure of my
All right, so it's something that I used to talk about, I think, more that was we have to fight off the propaganda, but the propaganda is so deep that it's kind of overwhelming, and you feel worn out, you know. Nobody likes to get lied to all the time. And, you know, of course it makes you wonder where that country's heading, but, I mean, what do you think just put this out there as a general question. What do you think the values are of the media? When the media gets a hold of you in its ads, in its statements, whether a direct statement, an ad, or indirectly, which can be a lot more influential. And we're soaked in this, just kind of marinated in this stuff. So, you know, you're listening to the TV or the radio and you feel like you're getting propagandized, that you turn to Fox News as you think Fox is telling the other side, and then there's more propaganda there. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Bob. I was wondering, do you ever have anybody from the newspaper on your program anymore?
I don't. Walt got mad and left the show one day and never contacted me again. And, you know, I mean, I didn't tell him to leave. I was, to be totally honest, I was taken aback that he got offended. There was 1 minute left where there was a caller. I had said something to him and he was trying to answer. I said something to Walt, but he had been on the show for 2 hours. And the phone call, there was 1 minute left and he was very offended like that. And left, but I never asked him to leave, and you know he never called me or anything. So,
is this show with the newspaper?
Yes.
Okay, but he just said you haven't had anybody else from the newspaper been on there?
No, nope. I don't know who else. I don't know how many people work there anymore, but he'd probably be the person, but. Maybe I could get the editor on or something. I understand that he's now on public radio, PBS or whatever the local station is. So obviously he wants to be out there, but, I mean, you know, he's not a bad guy. I never told him to leave and I didn't, you know, when he stormed off, I never told him not to come back. I mean, that was his whole, it was his own thing. If he showed up and started showing up on Tuesdays, I'd let him come back on the air. I'm just very busy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. All right, folks. Getting back into this thing is like we are marinated in propaganda, and it is exhausting to try to fight through. It's kind of like one of these movies, these adventure movies or dramas where the person spends the entire movie. He's on the run, maybe falsely accused. Spends the entire movie trying to find out who he can trust, who's against him, and always having to be on their guard to protect themselves. And it seems like that's the position that we're in. So the what does the media want? Why does the media support Hillary? Why does the media hate Trump? If all of these stories about him molesting these women, and this is what I think happened with Trump. I think he was with this guy, Billy Bean or whatever his name is, and they were hanging out and having a good time, and this kid was egging him on, and Trump took the bait like he usually does and said something to try to sound cool. I know the guy's had an affair with his Marla Maples and had a kid and everything, but his family is pretty well mannered and successful. And I think that, I just don't think he's that kind of a person. Now, could I be wrong? Yes. But if all these stories are true, why are the first two stories false? And how many stories would you have to go through? And to me, the funniest one, the porn star, right? This lady's a porn star. Trump offered me $10,000 to have sex with me. And when I wouldn't do it, he got offended. All right. So, and then she was sexually harassed. I mean, number one, I guess it's an open question. How do you sexually harass a porn star? But I guess a prostitute can be raped, you know? So, but this is before he becomes what he is today, which is this much reviled character across the political landscape, the cultural landscape. But you're telling me that someone who makes her living having sex with strangers is approached by a world famous billionaire, media celebrity, who offered you $10,000, and you're too good. You've got too much self-respect to go for that. To me, that's an insane story. That's probably the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. That has to be a lie. I don't know about the rest of them, but I mean, the dignity of the porn star, give me an effing break. And I wouldn't take the $10,000. Why? Before he was running for office. Why wouldn't you? That's a stupid, you know, to me, it's a stupid story, but what do I know? I'll take a break here. I've got some local weather, but this is also regional and national weather for you. Snows in the – this is in the northeast, and then I'll have some northwest and Halloween weather for you. Kelly O'Connell, 645 AM, Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. If you disagree, call me up. Those are the best kind of calls. We'll be right back.
Lincoln, New Hampshire, a winter wonderland. Guess what? More snow in the forecast. Actually, the week is going to end on a pretty raw note for much of the Northeast. So here we go. But let's start with the temperatures because it is going to be cold. Temperatures holding in the 40s in Boston for today. And parts of the interior Northeast, temperatures are going to be real chilly. And check out those overnight lows. Saranac Lake tomorrow morning, 18 degrees. That's what you wake up to. Now, we do have this system moving in. It will bring heavy rain along the coast, snow to the interior. So the mountains, yeah, you're going to get some more snow in the forecast. This all starts on Thursday. Going to see some pretty decent downpours Thursday night into Friday morning. But this pulls away by Friday afternoon. We are dry for the weekend, which is good news. But take a look at this snowfall that we could see in the high elevations.
So quite a bit of snow up in the Northeast as the seasons transition. Here's from the Northwest and from the West.
Talk about the story of much needed rain across the West. You know, it's not a new story, that's for sure. It's definitely something that has been so badly needed. So it's very exciting, as you can imagine, when Mother Nature finally delivers on that need. And we are going to get some much needed rain out across the West, even into Southern California in the next few days. So we just showed you what's going to happen. How much is coming is what you want to know. You can see as far south as Los Angeles, we're going to get about a quarter of an inch of rain. But further north, there's going to be some places in Central and Northern California that pick up on 2 to 3 inches of rain and even 3 to 5 inches of rain as we go through the weekend. Not to mention across the Sierra, we'll be talking about some decent snow amounts to come. You can see many locations easily picking up on 3 to 5 inches of snowfall. Some places possibly up to a foot, like Kirkwood.
There's a
comment to how badly all of this water is needed, whether it comes in the form of rain or snow. Take a look at the recent drought monitor.
And the drought monitor is the center of the state. You know, The drought monitor in California encompassed the entire state with the most extreme level of drought, and now it's about a third of that. So they've gotten a lot of rain in the last year. Now, here, well, let's just go I'll play you the Halloween weather clip.
Ah, is that a scary sight to you? Frost on the pumpkins? Because maybe you don't want to see snow quite yet. Well, it has definitely been in the picture for locations across the Northeast, and it's more in the picture if you live in the Sierra in the coming days. Let's talk about your Halloween forecast, because obviously that is around the corner and many, many children are excited about it. Your trick-or-treating forecast for the actual night in New York will have temperatures in the 50s. You're more in the 60s from Cleveland to Chicago, back in the 40s for Boston. Temperatures just shy of 70 degrees if you're trick-or-treating in Atlanta, and you can see some of those temperatures like Memphis and Dallas will climb even higher, low to mid-70s, near 80 degrees if you're going to be trick-or-treating in the Big D of Dallas. Have fun, everybody.
All right, here's your local weather. All right, I got a little clip here on the rule of law. I want to focus on something important every day, if, at least if just for a little while, give people something to think about. This is from the Bill of Rights Institute. We talked about it yesterday, the importance of the rule of law, the law above all people as opposed to people above the law.
The rule of law matters in all kinds of different ways. It's the foundation of what gives people the confidence to be able to speak their minds, for instance, knowing what the rules are in advance and they won't be punished by the government for what they say. Law really matters for, especially for economic development, for people to be secure in their property rights, know that their contracts are going to be enforced. And what we see when we look around the world today is that countries that have the rule of law tend to be richer and freer than countries that don't.
The constitutional principle of the rule of law means that we live under known and settled laws that were established in a system that is open for all to see. Like many constitutional principles, many take this idea for granted. We know that our laws are stable and that the rules of the game cannot just suddenly change. As John Adams said in 1776, the true idea of a republic is an empire of laws and not of men. Rules cannot be discarded or laws enacted on one person's whim unless established legal processes are followed.
One of the things that's most interesting about the rule of law is that has emerged in history, is primarily a protection for the ordinary person. The rich and powerful have always had the ability, in some sense, to be able to manipulate the government for their own ends or find the loopholes in the law to protect themselves and that sort of thing. It's the common person, the person who doesn't hire the lobbyists, who doesn't have the ability to influence the government, that benefits most when the government protects the rule of law.
A look back at the way the Constitution was framed and ratified shows how committed Americans were to the rule of law. After flaws in the Articles of Confederation were identified, 12 of the 13 states sent duly appointed delegates to a meeting in Philadelphia to revise the articles. When that convention, now called the Constitutional Convention, completed the document, the Constitution then had to be ratified by the states. State ratification took place in conventions where the people elected delegates to represent them. The debate was intense, but never did people resort to violence to force their views on others. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights themselves provide some ways to ensure the rule of law is followed. The Constitution forbids bills of attainder or laws passed to single out one person. It also bans ex post facto laws, which means the government cannot suddenly declare an action illegal and then punish people who did it in the past. All criminal trials will be tried by a jury. The police cannot search you or your property without getting a warrant from a judge by showing probable cause. People accused of crimes have many rights to due process, the right to know what they are being charged with, to consult with a lawyer, to confront their accusers, call witnesses in their own defense, and have their trial take place in a speedy manner in a location where the alleged crime occurred. A government cannot try a defendant over and over until it gets a guilty verdict. Excessive fines and cruel and unusual punishments are also forbidden. The most serious crimes require a grand jury to bring charges, and the crime of treason can only be proven by the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court.
Why do we afford certain protections to defendants in criminal cases? Why do we afford certain protections for freedom of speech and freedom of press? Why are there restrictions on the ability of the government to invade our private domain? All of these things have to do with the rule of law. All of these things have to do with living in a rights-oriented republic. All of these things have to do with due process of law.
Fundamental safeguards on freedom can only be suspended in specific cases. People accused of crimes tend to be disliked and even despised. A check on the power of the majority, which may want to set aside protections for due process in the name of revenge, is one purpose of the many safeguards for individual rights in the Constitution.
The need to make sure that the guilty are punished, the need to make sure that injured people get compensation in a timely, in a fair way, and are not frustrated by a legal system that interferes with their rights or becomes too expensive or inaccessible. That's an important component of the rule of law, and I think it's important for us to recognize that unless we are responsive to the needs of the people and actually vindicating their rights, people will feel these frustrations and these outlets.
And, like all constitutional principles, The rule of law depends less on its being written down somewhere in a legal document and more on citizens' commitment to it.
Open crime, corruption in government, robbery, peaceful citizens' lives in danger. All stemming from a lack of respect for law. Is that what you want?
I... No.
So we're all a lot better off respecting the law.
Having a people that respected the rule of law, for Madison would have been absolutely essential to having a defensible and secure republic.
When laws are unjust, it means finding peaceful ways to persuade fellow citizens to repeal and replace them. A commitment to the rule of law means a belief in the duly established systems and processes, even if outcomes aren't what some expect. It means we may have to set aside our personal desires for revenge if we believe a guilty person has been set free. The people, through their elected representatives, always have the right to enact new laws if they believe changes are necessary.
So we're losing the rule of law. There's no doubt about it. When you see the president enact all of these decisions that are outside of the Congress and then say he wished the Congress, he didn't have to deal with the Congress. And then some people like Hillary are not prosecuted when they're clearly guilty of some crime. It puts the entire country in peril. 6:59, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. We'll be right back after a break on the hour.
No one is there. Don't you love the fire? My fault, I fear.
All right, 706 Kelly here. Let me get you the temperature. It is the 26th day. And big news for you, by the way, and I'll read you some headlines, but I've got something in mind that I want to talk to you about. But the headlines say Trump is up in Florida. He's giving a speech in Florida on the tarmac of the airport. He's got his plane in the background, but it's a massive speech as far as the eye can see, crowds. He's up 4 in Ohio. He's with in 3 of Pennsylvania. This is what I think is happening. I think people are, and I will get you to your headlines in just a second, but I think that there is this thing that's going on, which I'm just kind of scratching the surface of here. We are living in a propagandized age. Now, you might say, well, every age has its propaganda. Of course. Of course it does. But I think we're living in a time where we've got more access to media, which gives us the illusion, more sources of media and opinion. It gives the illusion that there's more opinions out there. Therefore, there's more different opinions being traded out there, which is totally false, which gives the appearance that there's more freedom of thought. And there's maybe never been a time with less freedom of thought in the last few decades than we're in right now, because to be self-respecting, to have people look up to you, pat you on the back, you've got to support the party line. Now, what is the party line? As best as I can and understand it, is we are supposed to support socialism, the redistribution of wealth, because we care about the poor and we are concerned about the evils of capitalism. We're supposed to be against global warming because it has been proven. And I'm saying this is what the opinion is. I'm not saying either that these are facts or that I believe this. As a matter of fact, I disbelieve all of it. I'm totally opposed to all of this. But we're supposed to oppose global warming because the Earth is objectively, scientifically, by measure, increasing in temperature, and it's cooking us to death. And the reason of that is because it is a result of capitalist greed, and we've got to save ourselves. We have to save the future, the planet, for the kids, even though we really don't give a dang about kids. Of course, we're slaughtering so many of them as fetuses, which they're not kids in that case. We're supposed to be in favor of minority enfranchisement without any, including women, without any paying any attention to quality. Quality goes out the window when you start talking about this kind of restructuring of society. Quality doesn't matter. The quality, the good that you can find, is to make sure that minorities and women and all kinds of different, you know, groups are enfranchised, they're empowered. And if it killed the entire world, it wouldn't matter, because that's the important thing. This is the media's spin. Where these things come from, I could, and I told you I was kind of thinking about trying to write a book on this, if I could organize it and get the right sources. Just publish it on Kindle and see what happens. But this is all feeding out of Marxism. Now, I know you're getting sick of hearing about Marxism, but Marxism is like, what can I compare it to? It's like the Love Canal. It's like this disastrous, toxic waste bed that is leaching out all of these horrible, monstrously destructive elements into the food chain, into the water system, coming up on the ground, getting in the air. Marxism is a general description of the beliefs of the left. Because even if you want to split hairs and say one thing is Marxist while the other one is not, it's all broadly out of this movement, and Marx is the most important, or at least the most emblematic writer and thinker of this. And like many people who become famous through their ideas, he's actually borrowing the ideas of other people. Even down to the, you know, workers unite, throw off your chains, we have a world to win, whatever the exact quote is at the end of Das Kapital, Communist Manifesto, whatever it is, that he's taking the ideas that were in this group of radicals, this rebel group, this kind of like hodgepodge of this angry group of non-patriots, anti-government people who want to go and overthrow the government and put in, and they disagree. Here's the absurd thing about Marxism. They have a problem with the government, right? The government's not doing something the right way. So what they want to do is come in and overthrow the government and put in a super government, right? That makes sense, right? So you've got all of it. It is seeding. It's just leaching. It's like a toxic waste dump. It is like Fukushima seeding out all of this disease-causing stuff. So you could go back and find all of these ideas as anti-capitalist ideas, anti-West, anti-America, anti-whatever it is, and come back and find out that there is a model that they're pulling themselves on. I told you art. There's a nice article in Real Clear Politics on this that kind of mirrored something that I already had in mind, which was a critique of art. So what's the purpose of art? It is to be a kind of a, especially in the days when there was no TV and there was no pop music, life was fairly boring in that sense, that you had art and it was something profound, you know, and great art made people feel better, gave them something to think about. And it may have been for the upper classes, but now what is art? Art is abstract. So it is non-representational. It's ugly. A lot of our modern art is ugly. It is makes you feel uncomfortable. And a leftist would say, well, you should feel uncomfortable. We have a terrible society. They've always got this, you know, this critique running. And they've always got circular arguments. They don't have a direct argument. They, whatever they want to do, they have a way to defend it. So there was this guy that was arrested, which made me think of this up in Maine. And that guy, this guy summed it up. I'll see if I can get this thing to pop up. It was one of the stupidest, silliest stories I've ever seen. This guy was dressed up as a tree, right? He's in a tree outfit. And he goes and stands by the road, and then he begins to, and I got to find this thing. He begins to cross the road very slowly. And then the police show up, and they get him, and they say to him, basically, you can't do this. It's very dangerous. There's nothing wrong with being dressed up as a tree, apparently, but you are not allowed to do this in the middle of the road. So if you do it again, we're going to have to arrest you. And now I've got to find this thing. Looking through my articles here. And so, I mean, I'm sure you can guess the ending of this, because these people all think alike. He goes right back into the road and stands there, and then the police come over and arrest the tree, you know? So in arresting this tree, and I will, oh, here we go. Thank God. UPI. In arresting the tree, the guy makes this classic yet totally incomprehensible statement of leftism that lets people know that this guy's light years beyond anybody else. He's got something really profound that he's working on. And it's totally manufactured reason. He's not trying to save the trees, by the way. Man, all right, UPI, October 24th, 2016. Man wearing bizarre tree costume arrested for blocking traffic in Maine. Portland, Maine. A Maine man clad in a tree costume was arrested when blocking traffic after being told by police to stay out of the street. Asher Woodworth, what a great name for a tree, donned a tree costume reminiscent of a camouflage ghillie suit Monday and wandered into a busy downtown Portland intersection. Woodworth stopped traffic and drew attention as he slowly inched his way across the crosswalk. He was soon joined by a pair of police officers who escorted him to the other side. Quote, "All right, get out of the road or you're going to get arrested," said one officer in a video. The police officers told the man he was free to go with a warning to stay out of the street. All right, then the officer says, "I'll accept your silence as you understand you're free to go." The man then wandered back into the street moments later and was arrested. Here we go. Here's the classic leftist. I'm so much smarter than you. You can't even, you know, breathe the same air as me. His motivation was to see how people would react to what he called his performance and how he might impact people's natural choreography. Right? So he's dressed up as a tree doing performance art. And it happens from time to time that people do bizarre things because they want to get arrested. We're still not sure if he was trying to make a statement. That's a statement. It is this crazy logic that comes out of leftism, that they do things to disrupt society. And it's totally one of the things that you notice, that one of the connections between Islam and leftism is everything is done. They can do, you know, ISIS can do anything that they want. Well, and actually, according to ISIS, they're following the rules, but Islam can do anything it wants. You can, in Islam, you can go up and shoot somebody in the head because they broke the rules. Right? You're a one man executioner in radical Islam, or should I say traditional Islam. In this leftism, you can do anything that you want, and you will come up with. I mean, if it was two people laying in the middle of the street having sex naked, would you be surprised if you came up to them and they said, "We're doing performance art," or "We wanted to challenge the mores, this hypocrisy of," you know, come up with some self-righteous, holier than thou explanation for why they're doing stuff. So this is this thing that we're caught in now. We're under the influence of all of these crazy nuts that believe the same thing, that we're going to take Marxism and apply it across the board in society, and it's going to make society better. Now, Marxism is totally rejects any level of authority that's not Marxist, which would destroy and remake society. And the people that have to deal with that, that's their problem, right? I mean, if you've got something that you want to do, it doesn't matter how bad it is according to traditional society, because you're a leftist or you're a Muslim or whatever, you've got the right to do it. So we're dealing with a lot of really destructive movements, and none of them is really more destructive than, I mean, Islam is destructive, but liberalism, socialism is totally destructive of society, because that's the goal. They want to destroy the society that we're in and rebuild it. And I know these are tangential kind of points that I'm making, but I hope you're able to follow what I'm saying. The purpose of leftism, of socialism, of Marxism is to destroy and rebuild society. And that's why I'm convinced the president is not more concerned about the lack of economic growth and these type of things, and the border situation and the chaos in the Middle East. It all leads to a disruption of normal patterns, which makes it more likely that we will move into socialism in the future, because That's the fate of humanity. 7:21, Kelly O'Connell will take a break here. Back to Miles Davis. 523-1450 on AM Las Cruces, KOBE. And we'll be back in just a minute. Thank you. All right. If this lady was right, if this young lady who is totally, like all of these people are, totally disconnected, then in general, leftist policies would be correct because the leftist policies were true. The theories from the right, the alt-right, are wrong. Correct? I mean, the major implication that she says is right there. If that's true, then why are we struggling in so many different areas? Check this out. Obamacare.
Follow the media if you follow, certainly, journalists on Twitter. This race is over. You know, yesterday people were comparing Trump's numbers to Walter Mondale's.
I think it's okay to say it looks that way from some perspective.
What I'm saying is that they're trying to figure out how huge the landslide is going to be. A lot of people have been saying around here that there was going to be a natural tightening. When you look at the polls that had 12, 13 points, we have two polls that just came out that said it's a 5-point race. Again, 5 points is still a landslide. But if you look at trend lines, certainly it could be tightened up.
I think the best thing you can say for Donald Trump is that after the Access Hollywood tape, the bottom didn't fall out completely, if we're being generous. But the ABC poll had 12 points. That was on the high end. But you've got 5, 6, 7 points looks to be the lead, which is a big lead 2 weeks out. And more importantly, if you go inside and look at the swing states, he's doing well in North Carolina. He's doing pretty well in Florida. He's close. He's leading in Ohio.
Right.
But he's still... Pennsylvania, Nevada, there's so many swing states where he's down so big, Colorado, that it's still going to be very, very, very difficult for him to win. Now, he does have an issue he can use if he's smart, which is this Obamacare story about premiums going up 25% in certain plans, 22% in other plans, and choice shrinking.
Yep.
All things predicted by conservatives many years ago.
Conservatives predicted coming true with Obamacare.
And if he uses those and pushes that button in swing states, maybe that impacts.
You heard that every single criticism that the right made on Obamacare and the reason that nobody in the Republican Party voted for Obamacare was it was designed to fail. It couldn't work. And the people on the left not only said you're wrong, but they lectured, they talked down to, they laughed, and they said, please get out of the way of, you know, this is the new world. Get out of the way of progress. So, you know, you've got these people like this young lady that I just read more of her story than I should have wasted the time on. And it's just repeated. The thing that bugs me about the left is it's one disaster after another. And then in between is the relentless preaching and talking down to sanctimonious statements, the judgment. You know, it's not enough that you disagree with somebody. You've got to try to destroy them, as Jonathan Chait said in that. It's a campaign of delegitimizing. And that proves that we're in an age of an age of propaganda, because you're not allowed to disagree with these people. And if you do, you have to be destroyed. And in the meantime, everything that they say that they stand for is lying in smoking ruins. All of these ideas and programs that they've come up with that they've demanded have to be brought in fail, and nobody's allowed to point it out. And I went to lunch with a good friend of mine who's very, very liberal yesterday. He criticized the Republicans for not helping Obamacare. Why not help make it work? And I said, when you pass something based on one party's vote, why would you expect help in the future? When the general principle of the policy is hated by everybody. So that's the world we're living in now. So anyway, if you found this kind of this analysis tedious today, I'll move on to something else tomorrow. Hope you have a good day. Thanks for spending time with me and Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 on KOBE. Ciao. See you back in 22 hours.
to